Hurricane Irma is now a tropical storm, but Irma is still a threat. I'm joined on the line by a National Weather Service meteorologist, Dave Nadler. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm safe. I hope everyone else is also. What does this, it was a Category 1 before 8 a.m., now it's a tropical storm. What does that mean?
Yeah, basically it just means that, you know, the Irma is continuing to weaken. It was a very low-end Category 1 hurricane earlier this morning, but at 8 a.m. with the update, it's been downgraded to a tropical storm with maximum sustained winds of 70 miles per hour.
Now, and it has started to kind of curve more west as well. Is it a possibility it will miss Metro Atlanta?
No. I think, well, I think the, you know, the center of the storm may not, you know, move directly over Atlanta. It's kind of moving more to the northwest now. I think that track or that motion is going to continue through the day. Just because the center of the storm doesn't move like right across a specific area doesn't mean the impacts won't be felt for a very wide area around the state.
So when I was buying groceries, the cashier said, it's just a tropical storm. There's nothing to worry about now. Why is that wrong?
Well, because I think tropical storm force winds can reach up to 70 miles per hour. And I think we all know, like with severe thunderstorms, if we start getting winds like above 60 miles per hour, we know that, you know, there could be down like large trees that get knocked down or snapped. Certainly power lines can get down. We can see minor structural damage. So with these even tropical storm force winds between 40 and like 70 miles per hour, they're still going to result in downed trees and power lines and minor structural damage. And that can be a threat to life and property.
And I assume that's especially true in a place like Atlanta where there are so many trees.
Absolutely. And another thing to consider is that with all this rain that's coming in as well, in addition to the wind, when the grounds become a little bit more, saturated from the rainfall, some trees could be more easily like uprooted or snapped.
Okay, so what kind of things can we expect over the next, 24 hours? If you're in Metro Atlanta, what are we going to see from Irma?
Well, through the day today, expect just an increase in rain and wind. The rain's going to continue all day, pretty much, but the rain intensity may start to increase later this morning and definitely through the afternoon hours. In addition to the heavy rainfall, the winds are going to pick up. Right now, we're seeing winds around Metro Atlanta gusting maybe in the like between 25 and 35 miles per hour at times. That'll start to increase as Irma gets a little bit closer to our area. So expect winds to, you know, increase into like the 40s, and we can certainly see some gust into the 50s and maybe even around 60 miles per hour at time later this afternoon into the early evening hours.
Let's bring another voice into this, GPB reporter Emily Jones, who's covering the storm from Savannah. Hi there, Emily.
Hey, Celeste.
So Savannah was one of our mandatory evacuation areas in Georgia. What is Savannah empty?
It's pretty empty. It's certainly emptier than it is on a regular day. But there are a fair amount of people who didn't evacuate. And actually, I should clarify that not all of Savannah. Originally, we were all under a mandatory evacuation. And then they actually walked that back as the storm kept moving further west and further west. And called it, depending on which official you're talking to, it's either called a voluntary or a general evacuation for most of Savannah, but of course for the areas to the east, the areas that are in the islands and the marshes where they're really expecting to see the bad storm surge, that is still a mandatory evacuation. But a lot of people stayed behind. Either they rode out Matthew and they were fine, or when they saw the track shift to the west, they decided, I'm not going to evacuate to somewhere in middle Georgia that's still going
to
see this storm. And I actually know some people who even came back that evacuated and then decided to come back because they thought it might be better here than in Macon.
Let's actually hear from someone you spoke with, Rachel Flora, evacuated from Savannah to Moultrie. That's where her family lives. She says she's not all that used to hurricanes and other severe weather.
Nothing happens here. So I think a lot of people have that mentality that, it's going to be fine. I've heard a lot of people say, when this thing is over, let's go fishing, which seems like a really lackluster response to me. But since we haven't seen anything, I'm not sure how this is going to play out.
And Dave, let me bring that back to you because Emily mentioned the storm surge. Why are we hearing about storm surges so much right now?
Well, I think the wind flow that's going into the coast right now on the east side of the storm is carrying all that water into the coastline. So I think that's the concern, is that extra like 3 to 5 feet or 4 to 6 foot water on top of, like, you know, normally dry ground is a big concern along the coast. And so I think that's even far removed from the center of the storm, the surge, the easterly wind into the coastline of Georgia, like around the Savannah area, is a big concern basically through today.
So let's hear another voice that you spoke with, Emily. This is Katie May Devine. You talked to her when she was waiting for a bus out of Savannah. She was one of the people that rode out Hurricane Matthew. She did that at her sister's house, but I guess she made a different decision this time.
It was a trauma. It was real bad. It was real bad. Trees were falling. Lights went out. It seemed like the end of the world, mostly because it was dark and big old oak trees was colliding.
Emily, do you get the sense that preparations and decisions are different in Savannah because it has not been that long since Matthew?
Absolutely. Just in terms of when people started watching this storm and making their potential evacuation plans and deciding to leave, that happened so much earlier with Irma relative to when it happened with Matthew. I mean, people were talking about this stuff as early as last weekend. You know, more at this point, more than a week ago, people have been watching this storm and saying, you know, are you evacuating? What's your plan? Here's where I'm going to go. You know, because I think there was this kind of sense for a while. You know, we heard earlier in the show from a historian talking about how long it's been since Georgia's seen a major hurricane. It had been a while since we'd seen even a hurricane of the strength of Matthew. And so there was this kind of sense that hurricanes skipped Georgia. They go right up to the Carolinas, and we don't see much impact here. And Matthew really changed that, and I think freaked a lot of people out. You know, Rachel, who we heard from earlier, another thing that she said to me was she evacuated a lot earlier. She evacuated before they even called for the mandatory evacuation for the coast, in part because of what happened with Matthew.
Dave, let me ask you about something that doesn't seem to be being discussed, which is a surprise to me, which is climate change. Is it possible that climate change can make hurricanes either more frequent or more severe?
Phyllis, I don't really honestly know the answer to that. I think it's, you know, weather is so variable and dependent on so many different, you know, conditions, atmospheric conditions that, you know, and the climate, you know, changes from one day to the next and one year to the next. So, excuse me, I think it's just, we can expect, I mean, we've seen, you know, hurricanes, we've seen, you know, severe weather outbreaks, we've seen like major ice storms and winter storms, and some years, you know, you happen to get more than others, you know, and I think it just sort of balances out over time. So I really don't know the answer to that. I think, you know, it's certainly a factor that we all have to consider, but I don't necessarily have the data to support that.
Emily, how does that conversation play out in Savannah? What kind of things are people talking about when they talk about Irma?
For the most part right now, people are talking about, you know, what they expect to see, whether there's going to be damage, whether there's going to be flooding, that kind of thing. I haven't heard much discussion yet of that kind of big picture, you know, whether it's climate change, whether it's related to that broader discussion about climate change. But, you know, people are really concerned about it. And there is another sense here. You know, we already talked a little bit about Matthew and the way that it sort of was a wake-up call for people, but it's also, I mean, the impacts of Matthew are still very, very real here. There are people who either just got their houses repaired not that long ago, or I was even talking to the mayor of Tybee yesterday, and he said there are still some buildings on the island where people can't, you know, fully live in their house yet because they're still working on repairs from that storm. Officials are still talking about replenishing the dunes that got you know, really badly damaged during Matthew, which is a huge protector from flooding if the dunes are strong. So we really haven't fully bounced back yet. And so that's also been a big focus is, you know, that storm didn't just scare us, it weakened us on the coast. And now here's another one.
So, Dave, I read statistics from FEMA that said that half of all deaths in flooding are happen inside a vehicle, and that even 6 inches of water is dangerous in your car. Is there a timeline for when a storm, when the danger of a storm passes? Like when you can stop worrying?
Well, that's a great question. I think every storm is different. We obviously saw what Harvey did, and the reason Harvey became such a major disaster was the fact that it just slowed down and nearly stalled over the same area. So it was pumping in so much moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and dumping all that rain. And the thing is, it's kind of a 1-2 punch when you look at flooding, because you can get flash flooding, which is basically floodwaters that rise and cause like life-threatening conditions in a matter of hours. And then you can also have river flooding. And river flooding can happen over the course of days or even weeks in the case of like what happened with Harvey in East Texas. So even after the rains end and everything clears out, you can still have major problems along rivers and streams, because there's so much water getting, obviously trying to filter down into the bigger, lakes, oceans, and water.
And Irma is moving pretty slowly, is it not?
I would say no, it's moving pretty good.
Oh, good.
I think that last check, it was at 8 a.m., they said it was moving northwest at about 18 miles per hour. And that upper-level winds are actually driving it, to the north and northwest. And so that's good news. Now, eventually, it may sort of get cut off and stall out over, like, parts of Tennessee or whatever. But by then, the system's going to be very weak, and we're not going to be looking at any major, significant rainfall like we saw with Harvey.
We're having a lot of rain up here, Emily. In the 30 seconds we have left, what is the forecast outside your window?
Tons and tons of rain. I'd be surprised if you actually can't hear it up there. It's coming down in sheets, and sometimes the wind is actually blowing the rain sideways. It is pouring, really doesn't even begin to cover how much it's raining right now.
GPB reporter Emily Jones, also National Weather Service meteorologist Dave Nadler. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.